Now, Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, sponsored by Boston Connect Real Estate Services.
Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara, and you are listening to Talk Real Estate. I am going to be your host for the next hour. Let me share a little bit about my background before we get started. I am the broker owner of Boston Connect Real Estate, located on the South Shore, and I have been working as a full-time realtor and sales and marketing consultant for home buyers and home sellers for the past 15 years. I have helped hundreds of clients throughout the home buying and home selling process. My unique approach to assisting my clients to the next chapter of their lives is driven by being a team player and by offering them continuous training, education, advising, and mentoring. I like to say that I offer my clients exceptional service that moves you. Every week, I will be providing you with real estate topics ranging from home buyer and home seller advice, legal matters, insurance binders, flood insurance concerns, home inspection questions, environmental worries like radon, lead paint, and mold, mortgages and loan programs, staging tips and ideas, real estate contracts, market trends, home values, and more. It's a talk radio show, and sometimes we are even interactive, so you can follow along online. If you have any questions during the show, please call 781-837-4900. We love to talk real estate. If you missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to one again, you can listen on my podcast at talkrealestateradio.com. If you would like a one-on-one consultation with me regarding your home sale or your home purchase, I'd love the opportunity to meet with you. You can connect with me anytime at bostonconnect.com or 781-826-8000. Now, sit back, relax, take good notes, and let's talk real estate. And my microphone is working now. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara. You are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. And we are so happy to be here with you this morning. And we are sort of like the solo bunch today, right? Instead of like having everyone excited around us.
I'm excited. Yeah. I get her all to myself this morning. And you. Yeah. I get you, Ryan, to myself.
And we get Rye.
Yeah.
Hi, Rye.
Love that.
Hey, girl.
I know. I don't know what to do with you.
Hey, girl, what's up? No, I ain't drunk.
Don't look at me like that.
Just a little buzz.
Just a little buzz
just
on.
A little buzz. Yeah. So, so it's just us this weekend. And I know we've been sort of crazy the past, you know, couple of weekends, you know, moving the kids back to college and doing that. So Kimmy is safe and sound back in Alabama.
Safe and sound. Plenty of food. Plenty of clean everything. Everything's organized, set up, jewelry hung up. Everything's done.
Yeah.
She just has to study and get good grades.
Yeah. Let's hope
Let's
for
just
that.
Go with that.
That's all you have to do. That's it.
That's all you have to do now. You have food for 3 months.
Yeah. You know, you did all the cooking because she has a little studio apartment. So that's great. Congratulations on that.
Thanks. Yeah.
Can
and
you
three flights of stairs, 110 degrees at 9:30 at night. 110 degrees.
Yeah. So it was sort of like here, by the way.
Uh-huh.
So it was a really warm here.
Box is bigger than me, trying to move them. And let me just say, my daughter doesn't really have to do anything ever. So when I said, seriously, your mother needs help getting this big box up the stairs, she goes, this is really, how did you get it in the unit? Okay, let's just help me get the box.
Yeah, because you had everything in storage down there, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's impossible. You have to sort of, it's like plane, trains, and automobiles to get there.
Oh,
so you have a hike.
We had delayed flights, so we didn't get in late. And then I forgot to rent a car. I thought I did. It wasn't in my folder of folders. And so that was a whole big, do we need to find you a home, Mom?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I know. Well, the memory is the first thing to go. And then I was back and forth. Yeah, so I spent like 2 weekends in Vermont. 10 loads of laundry, all that good stuff. Yeah. So anyway, she's all settled in. Preseason starts, you know, so she'll be ready.
Yeah, Kimmy starts school tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
5 classes on Wednesday she starts with. So.
Yeah. Well, good thing it's Saturday and we didn't let everybody just know that we're pre-recording. Good job.
Thank you.
So only those who are paying really, really good attention to us right
I
now.
I wasn't paying that good attention because I didn't notice that. Did you, Rye?
Yeah.
You did notice that?
Yeah.
Okay, could you two work with me here?
Yeah, okay. So she actually started classes this week. So Mackenzie doesn't start until next week. And then we have to get Casey down to Connecticut, senior year.
Oh,
we have a senior.
That?
Yeah, we have a junior. So it's great. And everything is wonderful. So
it is.
Again, you are talking to Sharon McNamara and
who's
Cindy
talking
Ford.
To us?
Everybody listening to us. You're listening to us. If you know, if maybe you don't know, we're full-time real estate agents.
Yes.
I think people forget that.
I know.
Yeah.
I know, we are.
Yeah.
At Boston Connect.
You're not just radio hosts?
No, we're not just radio hosts. Can you imagine that?
I thought you were. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
See, you didn't even know when you're in there.
Yeah, I had no idea. So in between all the busy real estate that we're doing, we're also finding time to do this because we're trying to give value to our WATD listeners. We love being here and being part of your morning every Saturday morning here at WATD from 10 to 11 o'clock. We also have a podcast, so if you've listened or missed any of our shows, or if you want to listen to another one, or if you're talking to someone who's thinking about buying or selling a house and you say, hey, Sharon and Cindy had this great show on home inspections, you listen to her show with Steve Cook, you can go on to our podcast, right?
Yes.
TalkRealEstateRadio.com mm-hmm. or on if you have a podcast on your phone.
Absolutely.
The app, you can just go on to Talk Real Estate Radio and you'll be able to find that. And there you go. You can have all the past shows. So yeah, actually, that was another thing that sort of happened to me. Someone stole my phone.
Oh, but that's
whatever.
Right.
You know, bad people go to hell. That's what I'm sure of. Can I say that? I just did.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So
they do that.
But you know what? Yeah. Hey, little things in life. They wanted the case more than they wanted the phone, I'm sure. But you know what? It isn't like, you know, nothing major happened. So, but today we're going to be talking, just the two of us. We're just going to talk real estate. We're going to be talking about navigating home buying and home selling at the same time. It's a common question that people ask us all the time. What do I do first? Do I put my house on the market or do I find a house first? So just sort of briefly before I get into some of my bullet points, what are some of, you get this question, right? I mean, what are sort of your random thoughts on that?
Well, a lot of my people are first-time home buyers, so they actually, mm-hmm. I digress. They're not.
Do you have a village? My people. And you raise your arms up. My people.
Clearly, I'm still trying to recuperate from the move. Clearly. Yeah. So, no, I didn't mean that at all. So, when I go to someone's home and they have something to sell, whether it be a condo or a house, they'll say, you know, we need to find a house first.
Yeah.
And I say, well, do you have, you know, enough funds to potentially put a down payment on a house? Because that would be great. Yeah. Or that you could do maybe a bridge loan. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, no, but I need to find a house before I can sell my house. And I said, well, but you can't purchase that house without first selling this house and having that money to go toward the down payment of the other house.
It's a chicken and the egg, right?
And I still don't know. Yeah. I still don't know the answer to that. Do you?
It's sort of a balance. I mean, you really have to decide what's best. I guess, you know, the person's motivation and their funds, you know, what they have liquid is a big factor in that. You know, bridge loans, I don't see as many people doing those as much anymore.
Correct.
Just because it's risky.
I've had one. That's it.
Yeah.
In a long time.
Yeah, it's really risky to, you know, for a lot of people to have two mortgages. But if you find that house that you just can't imagine yourself not having, then sometimes people will do that. They'll have two mortgages until they get their one house. And they're pretty confident that their house is going to sell.
In this market, this is so hard for us because in the past, it was not even a thought to put your house in the market, and it will sell eventually, and you will find a house, and you usually mm-hmm. those two go hand in hand very easily. But there's not a lot of inventory out there, so trying to find mm-hmm. your new buyer that's selling their house goes quickly because there's not a lot of inventory. Trying to find them, you know, what did you used to say? I give someone a bottle of water and a granola bar, and I find a house in one day. Literally, that stopped a year and a half ago, and I'm like, 3 months, that's not fun.
Yeah. It's because there's no inventory.
There's nothing out there. So we're looking at one property at a time. Do you know how mm-hmm. much, how that's just not good for me?
No.
It doesn't work for me.
You used to be out there. You used to have
like all day. We're going.
Yeah. I remember one time being out with people and I was like, oh, do you want to like stop for lunch? And they're like, we thought you would never ask.
Because we're moving.
I'm like, we've been on the road since 12 like 9 houses, o'clock.
And we're going to put an offer in before the end of today because you found a house that you loved. But right now it's difficult mm-hmm. because if you find a house, and really it's in any price range, whether I'm working in the 200s, the 300s, 400s, 500s, 600s, 700s.
Yep.
There's nothing out there for any of my buyers.
Yep.
And
it's almost like right now, I feel like we're at that, like, you know, the summer sale, like the one day summer sale, and everything's been picked over. So it's like, oh, you can find something you like, but it's not the right size, or you can find something huge, but it's not the right color.
Right.
You know, so that's what we saw. I feel like our inventory right now is very much like that. July is, you know, generally a slower month. I mean, we have, you know, a lot of closings and stuff from people getting things under agreement in May and June. But, you know, when houses are coming on the market, there are so many people on these houses. That's when the big decision comes in. It's like you want to put an offer in this house, but you don't even have your house on the market yet. So you're not in a very good negotiating place
right.
to even get your offer accepted.
Right, because these people that have, not my people, but the people that have their, they're not accepting contingent offers, contingent upon you yeah. selling your house. Because they could miss out because they have to kind of take it off the market unless they do, mm-hmm. you know, with their own contingencies. But people are not accepting contingent offers of you selling your house. Yeah. So that's difficult
as well.
Very far
and few in between. And I'm in a situation now with one of my listings, you know, down in Plymouth. And, you know, they accepted this offer. And now the people that are buying their house are selling their house. So now we're trying to put offers in on properties up in the Peabody area. They're trying to get back up that way. And no one's really accepting their offer based on the fact that, you know what, the people who are buying your house don't have their house under agreement yet.
Right.
So the
trail, domino effect.
It really is. The trail is very long. The tail is very long. All of it. So I have some key points that I'm going to talk about.
Let's talk about that, Chad.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So again, Cindy and I do this full time. This is our real full time job. So when we're talking about this, sometimes we talk fast because right. we're in it every day.
Right.
We certainly can slow this down for you. But if you would like a one-on-one consultation on how to do this, and everybody is different, so you can always just give us a call and we'd be happy to help you. We'd love to bring people into our office, but you know, just to look at different things like what's on the market and right. what's the value of your house and all of those good things, some staging ideas and tips and blah blah blah. So one the first thing is really what came first, the chicken or the egg. And basically you have two choices. Choice number one is you put your house on the market, and once you have an accepted offer, then you go forward and you start looking for homes. Okay. Option number two is you find a new home and then you decide to put your house on the market. So you can imagine consequences of both, right? Negative, and yeah. there's benefits of yeah. both, right? So we're going to go through some of these. So the benefits of and the negative consequences of finding your new home first. What do you think the benefit of that is? I mean, it's hard because I was having a hard time when I was filling out these notes last night. And I know you're sort of caught off guard because you literally just came off a plane, but I did these notes last night in bed. Yeah. So I can't read my own writing. Right. So we're helping each other out here.
And I was drinking, but
I know.
Other than that, everything. And I did have the television on. I was yeah. watching, but these notes are great.
Yeah.
I haven't been up against that yet because mm-hmm. I get nervous because if we find a house, they're not going to accept the, especially yeah. if I don't even have my house listed, because mm-hmm. I know I wouldn't guide my client selling their house to accept an offer.
Yeah.
See how excited, look at me, I'm
I know,
sitting
you're
up straight,
like,
and you're sitting back there looking at me going, oh, here she
like,
goes.
Look, she's like reading my notes. She was in bed with me
no,
last
I
night.
Well, you know that's a dream.
Yeah.
It's just a dream.
Yeah. Between me and Mark McNamara, there we are.
There I am.
I mean, seriously, we've been neighbors for 24 years now. Can you believe that? I can't believe that either. Yeah, so that's exactly what I wrote. I mean, it really, in all reality, is somebody going to accept your offer when there's low inventory and probably multiple people wanting that same house? Do you think that they're going to take your house with a home sale contingency?
No.
Yeah, probably not. So that's the negative consequence of, you know, finding that home first. The other thing too is you know what? You find that house and then you fall in love and then you're like, oh my God. Then the process becomes upsetting a little bit because now you have your heart set on a house that you probably shouldn't have gone and looked at.
Right.
Until you got your house on the market, you know?
And I have had a couple of people in the past year that they could afford to buy another house and they got a pre-approved mm-hmm. and all of that mm-hmm. with the small mortgage that they had left on their house. So it was a very small mortgage or something. And so they were okay with finding their property first. Because a lot of people get nervous, like, what if I don't find a house and my house goes under agreement right away? And I say, and it's always worked, and I don't know what I'm going to do if it doesn't. It's kind of like that 1, 2, 3 thing. If I have to count to three, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
But I said, I lost my train of thought. Where was I going with that? See, I am tired. I'm not joking.
Yeah,
not enough coffee today
yeah.
to save
so
me.
You were working on the, and you're asking me.
I know. I know. Well, they want to, no, go ahead. Tell me what I was saying.
I don't know. So we were talking about the fact if they look for the house first. So you've never had this problem because in most instances.
Right. But I did have a couple of clients that I
yes.
said that they found the property, but then they get nervous because
yes.
they're like, oh, well, then I found this, but what if mine doesn't sell? And I'm like, well, that's what I was trying to explain
mm-hmm.
out of the get-go.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to necessarily carry two mortgages. And this first mm-hmm. mortgage might be small, but they're still thinking, what do I do?
I don't mean to laugh, but if I don't get this thought out of my head, I'm going to be sitting here thinking it. So you said right out of the get-go, and I'm thinking get-go insurance. Like
what? That's Geico.
Geico, I know. But that's all like I can think of. So now
Kathy Lee and Yoda.
It's out now, so I don't have to hyper.
Did I say right out of the get-go? See, I'm not.
No, but that is true. And then the other thing too is when people find people are afraid if I put my house on the market and it sells. And that's what I tell people. Chances are when you put your house on the market, it is going to sell. If you're listening to the advice that we're giving you when it comes to pricing, staging, we're both, you know, stagers, certified staging professionals. If you're going to take all of our advice, then chances are your house is going to sell, and it should sell within the first couple of weeks. But if you're going to try to test the market with your price, well, don't be surprised when it doesn't sell right away. I mean, because everybody can sort of see these numbers. If you don't have a backup plan, then you probably shouldn't do that. I mean, it's until you're really ready to. This is what my suggestion is to people. Have the house ready to put on the market. So if you do find something, all we have to do is push a button in order to get that house on the market, and then that way there you'll be sort of okay. But I think that the best option is have a backup plan. If my house sells first, then can I live with family?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times
that's what I'm doing now, and I have had people have to rent or live with family. But I tell them we'll find the right house. Everything will happen the way it's supposed to. And, you know, and I hope and pray that it does.
Yeah.
When I say that, when those words come out of my mouth, I really do mean them, and I hope that someone's listening to me.
Yeah, and you hand them a little bottle of holy water, and we just all say our prayers. That's all there is to that. That's how that works.
It's going to happen.
That's why we're so successful. We pray a lot.
We do.
We have lots of holy water around the office. So, no, but I think that that is part of the fear for people is where am I going to go? And they don't want to be displaced themselves, and they don't want to put family members, you know, in an awkward position where they have to move in with them.
And move twice.
Move twice, then you have the storage costs of all of your belongings and everything. But if you do put your house on the market first and it does go under agreement, one thing, I don't ever want people to make a decision based on emotion or fear or frustration.
Right.
You don't want to settle for a house.
No, absolutely not.
No, because that's more of a regret. You're going to wake up one night, your eyes are going to look at the ceiling, and you're going to be like, why did I buy this house? I don't even really like this house. I don't like the location of this house, whatever it is. So you don't want to just compromise to a point of really just not really, just because of the fear of not having someplace to go.
Right.
So have that all lined up. I mean, generally speaking, in this area, we're really fortunate because we're coming into a period of time where those summer rentals, you're able to get a short-term rental through the fall and the winter.
Right.
So you can do a short-term rental type situation, which I've had clients do, and sometimes just waiting for that perfect property, it's worth it in the end, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And too, you can move in with your kids and, you know,
and we've been able to do the, you know, we always put in MLS subject upon seller finding suitable housing. Now, that can't be extended out into, you know, Neverland. You have to have kind of a, in hope that you find a property within that time or have plan B.
Yes. So that's a really good segue into what we'll talk about after our next break, because we're going to talk about contingencies, what you should have in your offers, what you should have in your listing agreements, what you should have in MLS to protect you so you're never sort of left homeless, because that's never good. And recently I had a client, maybe for a couple of weeks, we thought maybe things weren't going to work out because of a financing issue that came up last minute, and I offered to let them stay in my house. It was okay. I mean, they didn't end up having to, but there's things that we can do to try to help
people
out.
Absolutely. Anyone can stay at Sharon's.
Exactly. So just give me a call, 781-294-4848. Yes. So again, you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. We are talking all real estate today, and we're a little slow and sluggish today, it seems, but
she says we, but she means me. You know that, right?
No,
right?
It's, you know what? It's been a couple busy weeks with everything. So when we come back, we're going to talk more about navigating home buying and home selling at the same time, and we will be right back.
The next time you see a football field on TV, a wide shot where you can see the whole field and everyone looks tiny, remember that the clean team professionally cleans as much carpet and upholstery in 1 year to cover that field 20 times over. That's a lot of cleaning. And the clean team does all of their cleaning around the South Shore and the Cape. The clean team has been in business for over 30 years, and aside from having a great reputation, they've earned plenty of certifications in the cleaning and restoration of fabrics.
I'm Jennifer, co-owner of the clean team. My husband Matt and I have spent many years tackling every type of residential and commercial cleaning job you could possibly think of. It's not just carpets and upholstery. We clean oriental rugs, leather, tile, stone, as well as grout cleaning and ceiling. We want to help you make your home clean and inviting.
So the next time you watch two football teams make a big mess, think of The Clean Team, covering the South Shore for over 30 years. Online at thecleanteam.net.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing. Fully insured. 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. This is Sharon McNamara, and you are, of course, listening to Talk Real Estate. We are both full-time agents, yes, from Boston Connect Real Estate, and we're going to be having our grand opening pretty soon for our Bridgewater office. Yeah, so that's going to be
September 15th, yeah, right? From 3 to 7?
Yeah, September, yes, 15th. So you're all invited if you want to come and
stop
see us.
Stop by. It's adorable. Yeah. The office is awesome. From 3 to 7, and it's Main Street, right,
Yep, Chad? 63 Main Street. Yep, 63 Main Street.
Three things in a row I got right.
I know. Look at you.
Well, that's the first.
Yeah, and we're trying to find our other new location, so we've still been looking. There was, you know, Dorchester was in the works there for a while, so I don't know what's going on with that, so we have to check in on that space and see what's happening. Yeah, so I was really looking
forward
to that.
That's a great location.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. We're putting out our feelers out there for other places as well. So anyways, we're really excited about our grand opening in Bridgewater. We have a great group of people over there. Trish Flynn, who all of you know, she is our office manager over there. Mm. And she has been putting together the whole grand opening. It's almost like I feel like it's a surprise party for me.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea what's going on. But they're doing a great job putting it all together. Yeah. So again, that is 63 Main Street in Bridgewater. It's right in Bridgewater Center, like two buildings after Cumberland Farms when you go through the center. And that's going to be from 3 to 7 on September 15th. So come join us. We'll have some refreshments and stuff, I suppose, because I don't know. Do you know?
And stuff. No.
I have no idea. Stuff. I'm sure we'll have balloons and signs. I mean, because that's what we do with real estate. Right? So that's what we're going to do. So again, Cindy and I are here solo today. And it's nice to get a chance to talk about real estate because this is what we do. This is what we know. When we have all of our guests on here with us, we have the best of the best. Oh, so
learned so much.
Yeah. So last week we had
Matt Kritz.
Kritzy. We had Kritzy on with us.
Kritzy in the house.
Kritzy's in the house. Yeah, he's fun to have here. And we have, you know, everybody coming up. I know Steve Cook is coming up in a few weeks. And
Solar City.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to be redoing that one. So there was a little mistake. Blip. So if you were listening, I call in on Fridays and I tell Rob what's going on. And that's show got a little something happened to the show. Anyways, things happen, so we're going to make the next one even better because we thought of questions we wanted to ask afterwards, so we're really excited.
The hour
about
was
that.
Not long enough for that show.
So anyways, it's been busy in real estate. You've been crazy busy. I see you coming and going.
It's not, you know, I said something to you about not, you know, I'm getting caught up on a lot of things, and I said, oh, geez, I don't have anything major in the pipeline. And you said, well, it is August. And I said, what in August means what? Mm-hmm. What about August? And generally, you said, you know, it slows down a little bit in the summer. Well, it hasn't been.
I know.
At all. which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been nonstop.
It has been busy. Yeah, the office is doing great.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have 45 agents at the office now, and everybody is doing fabulous, and everybody's busy out there doing CMAs and doing all that.
Yes.
It's so nice, too, because we have our South Shore office, which is the Pembroke. We're located in Pembroke, but it's our South Shore office.
Yeah.
It's really nice because we have so many agents that are, you know, we all live in all of these towns. We're
right.
all very familiar with these towns. So we're working in Hanover. We're working in Hingham. We're working in Norwell, Marshfield, Duxbury, Kingston, all of our touch towns, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Our location is a mile and a half off the highway, which is really nice. So we're right down here on 139. So it's nice that we have that capability to be so close to even, you know, Scituate and everything else. So
all the towns, it's a great location.
Yeah. And the name Boston Connect Real Estate has been really helpful for us because we're bringing in those people from that Dorchester, Quincy, Braintree, Weymouth area are all coming this way. So it works out nice. And then we have our, they sort of, it's really not South Coast, but sort of that Bridgewater area off of Route 24.
Yes.
Middleborough and all that. So then when we have our Dorchester office, we'll be connecting all the dots.
Absolutely. It'd be perfect.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great. So today we're talking about navigating home buying and home selling. And I have to tell you, this question comes up all the time because I coined the phrase right sizing, right?
Right.
So if you're in your large four-bedroom colonial and you're thinking about getting something smaller that's a little bit more manageable, that's not a downer. We
no.
don't call that downsizing.
No, not at all. Never.
No, it's right sizing.
We want to.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Well, I don't
really
have to.
Just can't get the kids out of the house.
Yeah, I don't really have to. I mean, I never upsized, so I feel like, you know, my little three-bedroom cape is still perfectly fine until I can't do the stairs anymore. But whatever. I'm okay
right
now.
Which is like next week.
But I know.
We'll deal with it then. We'll get you one of those, the things that goes up the stairs. We'll get you one of those if I can ride on your lap.
I know. Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Absolutely. Right up the stairs. There we go. I could see us. We'd be having a lot of fun with that. You know for sure
we're
going to
video that one.
That will be me. So, yeah, but, you know, people have that struggle of, do I put my house on the market first? Do I call your real estate agent in first? You know, and here we are, as you were saying, like the summer tends to slow down, but this is a great time. You get, you know, maybe the dumpster, or you get like, you know, Salvation Army, or there are other organizations as well that you can donate a lot of your items to.
Right.
So this is a really good time to be purging, because the fall is a really great time to be putting your house on the market.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks spring.
There really is no bad time. A very smart woman once told me that.
Yeah, I
wonder
who that
was. Sharon McNamara. Mm-hmm. That there is no bad time to put your house on the market. Now, last year, I put a couple on in December, like literally the 23rd of December, and had multiple offers on the 24th of December. I was over at the neighborhood Christmas party with my laptop, because a lot of people do take their properties off the market for the holidays because they don't want people coming in and out. Maybe, I don't know, or they just think, oh, with the Christmas tree and all of that. But that means your house has better,
Less inventory.
Less inventory out there. So it looks even better.
Yep. And too, when you put your house on the market sort of closer to the end of the year, what's nice, especially with our higher priced homes, you know, those, the C-level executives, they're the ones that are going to be moving and starting, they're coming
year.
In from other states. So they're going to start January 1st in their new, well, not January 1st, but, you know, in January with a new company. And we're so fortunate here in Boston to have, you know, medical and financial and education. So close, so many places, up 128 in Boston, all over, for people, you know, for the C-level executives to be moving around. So the end of the year is a great year. So don't think you've missed the opportunity because you missed the spring market. You have not. So the fall is a great time to put your house on the market, especially now there's no inventory still. And when you put your house on the market, things are going under agreement right away. So just to recap, we were talking, what do we do first? Chicken or egg, right? So do we put our house on the market first and then look for a house, or do we do the opposite way? So the benefits, we were just talking about that, the opposite way, but the benefits and consequences of looking for a house first, we already talked about all these. The chances of you getting your offer accepted are going to be slim to none.
Yeah, it's true.
And if you do get your house under agreement, so this is one of the situations that I'm having right now with one of my clients, is we have his house down in Plymouth, or him and her house, that doesn't make sense. Him and her house, their house, because they're married with three children, and they're moving back up.
Help us out here, Rye, would you? Seriously.
Whatever. Into the Peabody area. So they're going back where, her family is. So the people buying their house have something to sell. So we accepted that as a contingency, but we put a time frame on it. So right. That's the important thing with contingencies. So we said, okay, we're going to give you until August 23rd to get an accepted offer on your property. If by August 23rd you don't have an accepted offer, then we decide if we're going to go forward with you or not.
Now, you may have said this already, and I may have missed it, but the people that put the offer in on your client's home, was their house on the market yet? Not at all.
It was on the market.
It was on the market, but it yep. did. So I'm. So what, you know.
Possessed us to accept it.
I was going to say possessed. I didn't mean to say possessed.
What possessed me?
What possessed you to do something like that?
Why did you think I was doing that?
Because I did an open house there, and I yeah. had a lot of people.
Yeah, there were a lot of people like that came through. And, you know, that's the thing is sometimes you take the chance because the other agent was telling us that, you know, they've had a lot of good feedback. They had a lot of showings. And really what ended up happening is we got two offers, and actually they were going to accept the other offer. And what ended up happening was, unfortunately, those people were relocating from another state. The husband was here. The wife was in Oregon, I want to say. And she got in a terrible car accident. And so the day that they were going to be signing the offer to get it back, like your offer is accepted, he had to fly back to Oregon. Like his wife was in critical care. So that
That's
one,
awful.
Yeah, so that one sort of fell apart. So they had this one there. And it just seemed like a natural thing to do. And we gave them timelines. So we said 2 weeks, then we extended another 2 weeks. So we've only been doing this in 2 week increments. So that's giving us time to sort of poke our toe into the Peabody market.
Because they haven't found a property either.
Exactly. But now they do have a property that we've been going back and forth with a little bit that they found. And that is the question, you know, how far along is the pipeline, you know, for the people in the house you're buying? So the people that we're putting in an offer for them, it's just complicated because this is the first offer that we've actually got a counter offer to. So everything else that they've put an offer in on, people are like, no, like, get back to us when your house is, you know, secure.
They won't even entertain it. Like,
they won't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a good conversation with them today, and this is what I said to them was, Here's the thing. I don't want you to go forward with this house in Peabody, even if your offer gets, you know, a counteroffer. The counteroffer came back with a 48-hour kickout clause on it. So this is where we get into the contingencies. So what this other seller was saying to my client was, if we'll accept your offer with these terms, so we're going back and forth with price a little bit, but we're going to put a 48-hour kickout clause on it. If somebody should come to us who doesn't have a house to sell, then we're going to accept that offer. You have 48 hours to either hit the lottery, hit Nana up for a loan, or back out of this, or drop your home sale contingency. But right. they can't because right. they obviously can't have two mortgages, right? right? So that part is really risky for any client to do. I mean, if you have, you know, just a lot of liquid funds and you're able to afford the home inspection and maybe you're doing, yeah. you know, the radon and all that, maybe you're willing to take the chance of having that and spending that money. But if you're going to spend $500, $700, whatever, dollars on a home inspection, it would be awful to think, oh, somebody came in the next day and they don't have a home to sell,
Correct.
So they ended up getting it. So we're advising them not to accept it with the 48-hour kickout clause on there. We'll see what the seller says. But
okay.
as you can see, there's ways to protect
now,
everybody.
Now, how are the people that are buying their house? Have they got an accepted offer on their property yet?
They haven't. So what they did is, and they were looking at the timeline, so we gave them another extension because we've been doing it in two-week increments. And what we said was, and it worked out for my client too, because my client's like, all right, well, we're going to give you 2 weeks, then that gives us 2 weeks to start our search too.
Right.
We just thought that it would all line up. Well, they just did a price adjustment on their home, which is great. And they've had a lot of activity going through the open house and things like that. So we're hopeful that they will get, you know, something accepted. But we do have to look at all these dates, you know, that contingency on the house, you know, that the people who buy in their house, that ends the 23rd of August, you know, so we might have to revisit. Do we just put the house back on the market? Those people already spent the money on home inspection and everything else and try to find a buyer that, you know, doesn't have a house to sell.
So you had an offer on, and this is just a question because I don't know the answer, everyone. you had an offer pretty quickly on that property, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a thought on your seller's side, because they hadn't found a property yet mm-hmm. or hadn't even started looking,
yeah.
To just not accept that contingent offer and maybe do another open house or have that property just stay on the market, or it was a very good offer. I mean, I don't know, because
I think they felt it worked out best for
both of them
because it also gave them time, because a lot of times too is if somebody's buying your house and they're non-contingent, they have nothing to sell, they're renting, they're doing whatever. You have a lot of clients like this, right? So we're just moving from one house into another house, non-contingent or whatever, maybe even from a rental or whatever. That buyer isn't going to give you a lot of time either. You know what I mean? So that buyer might say, all right, Mr. Seller, I'm only going to give you 2 weeks to try to find a property. Like, don't expect me to invest my time, energy, and money into doing a home inspection, doing a radon test, doing possibly lead paint testing, you know, to hire an attorney, to start the P&S review, to do all those things if you haven't found a house. Because I'll give you 2 weeks. And at the end of 2 weeks, if you haven't found a place, well, I might be losing out on other properties as a buyer.
Right.
If I commit to you to forever have to find suitable housing.
I mean, in this instance, it has worked out well, I think, because your clients really, until just recently, haven't been able to obtain a property either. So it's worked out well. It always works out the way it's supposed to.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we said about a half an hour ago.
I know. We didn't even need this show.
I don't know what.
We needed a minute.
All we need to do is tell everyone it works out the way it's supposed to, and everything is all good. Yeah. And then I hope and pray
that it is all good. But, you know, this is the important part of putting together a team. We talk about this all the time, Sin, right? So you want to make sure that you have, you know, the best loan officer that you can possibly have,
Absolutely.
Right? So everybody knows that our show is sponsored by Fairway Mortgage, and Daniel Mann is our go-to guy over there, over in Marshfield. They're great. But when we have a client that's working with Dan, we have confidence in knowing that it's going to get done.
Yeah.
Right?
And never worry.
Yeah. And then the home inspector. I mean, everybody that you... Listen, listeners. Listen here.
When we speak, you need to listen.
Yes. We have the best of the best. Like, everybody we bring on here.
Everybody.
Yeah. Like, last week, we had Kritzy. Then, you know, we have our home inspectors. We have everybody. Everybody that's good.
Handyman.
Yeah.
Handyman. We have everyone.
Yep.
Plumbers.
Yep. Yeah, we haven't had the plumber on in a while. Mm. Yeah, that's all right, though.
He thinks he's better than us.
Yeah, I know.
It's too big for us.
Yeah. Well, Mark gets a lot of calls, actually, from people that listen to our show. So
I know.
Yeah, I know.
I know.
It's funny. So what were we talking about? We're just sort of off track. I have so many notes, too, and I think it's overwhelming me because usually I'm a little more just, you know, just questions. But I wanted to put down a lot of notes because I didn't want to
forget
anything.
Well, it's been a while since it was the two of us that we're just having this, you know.
Yeah, one-on-one.
One-on-one, back and forth.
People are just joining us. You are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. Of course, we are full-time real estate agents over at Boston Connect Real Estate. I am the broker owner over there, and Cindy is also an associate broker. And you are actually one of our mentors as well over there. So you're training some of our newer agents just out of school, which is great. So these are the things we're teaching them. And you want to talk about glazed over.
It's difficult
at
this time.
Yes.
There's not an easy, and every transaction is different.
It
and
is.
They don't quite get that right out of
and
the
gate. Even
and that's
even for our listeners right now, maybe, the people who you've been in your house for 25 years, real estate is a little different now than it was 25 years ago.
It's a lot different.
And making sure, and that's the other thing too, is making sure that we have the best of the best of attorneys that are representing you. So you hear all the attorneys that we bring onto our show. They're great. And they're helping you make sure that you have the language in everything to protect you so you're not homeless. So one of the big ones, when you are doing your listing in MLS, we have a listing agreement with you as well. We put right in MLS, subject to seller finding and securing suitable housing. So it's sort of an open-ended, wishy-washy type statement. But what we're telling the buyers is, hey, yes, you can come and look at our house, but just want to forewarn you, our client still has to find something.
Right.
So it can be frustrating for buyer agents and buyers because they're like, well, how long do you need? Have you started looking and all these other things? It really is a chicken and egg type thing.
It is. It's difficult.
So, but we have that statement in there for a reason, and that's to protect you. So even if you have your house on the market, and let's say you have your house on the market and you get somebody to purchase the home, okay?
Yep.
In their offer, they put in all of their contingencies that they want, right? What are some of the contingencies?
Contingent upon house appraising at or above agreed upon price, contingent upon inspection, contingent upon Title V certificate, contingent upon, not contingent, but to include washer and dryer, seller to contribute X amount of dollars toward closing costs, taxes, prepaid, and escrows.
You've done this once or twice. So those are all the types of contingencies that you can put in there. When you accept that offer as a seller's agent and as a seller, one thing that you're not going to put in there as a buyer's agent is contingent upon seller finding suitable housing.
Ever.
Ever, right?
Right.
So as a seller and you get that offer, and let's say you accept all of Cindy's terms, right? So Cindy wants the washer, dryer, refrigerator, her client does. They want, you know, the house to appraise at the sale price. You're okay with that. So everything that's in there, you're okay with. You then have to have your agent, the seller's agent, right in there, contingent upon seller finding and securing suitable housing. It has to be in that offer. And the buyer then has to sign that agreement as well.
Or come back and say, agreed, but as of such and such a date, maybe it's 60 days out, has to secure something as of, you know, say it's June 1st, as of August 30th or something, because it can't go on.
Never ended.
Never ending.
Yeah.
Because it could take...
It could take a while.
A while.
Yeah. So the good news about having an accepted offer on your property is that when you go to buy another property, then you can say, I have an accepted offer on my property. It's just a matter of me finding suitable housing. They're secure with their financing. They've already had the home inspection. They've given us 30 days to find and secure a place, blah, blah, blah. It will put you in a better place negotiating wise than if you don't even have your house on the market.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So when we come back, we're going to continue on with navigating. I can't believe we're at another commercial already, but we're going to continue talking about navigating home buying and home selling at the same time. And what we're going to talk about is the flip side of that is, okay, what if you want to go out and put an offer in on a house? What contingencies are you going to put in as a person who has a house to sell?
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, so you're going to start writing down some notes. You were really good the last time with your offers. So we will be right back.
Okay.
Whether you're buying your first home, moving across town, or thinking about refinancing, you owe it to yourself to speak with a trusted mortgage advisor who can provide highly personalized service through every step of the loan process. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation's Marshfield branch is a well-respected local and national lender and can help you achieve both the short-term goal of home ownership and the long-term goal of financial security for you and your family. Recent uncertainty in the global markets has caused long-term fixed rates to go down. In fact, they are once again at historic lows. Give Fairway Marshfield a call at 781-536-4172 to see if we can refinance your existing loan and save you money. Oftentimes, we can reduce your rate or the term of your loan with $0 in closing costs, potentially saving you thousands of dollars over the life of the loan. Give us a call today and let Fairway Marshfield show you the fairway. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS 2289, is an equal housing lender. This is not an offer to enter into an agreement. Not all customers will qualify. Information, rates, and programs are subject to change without notice. All products are subject to credit and property approval. Mass Branch License 338980.
Plumbing problems are inevitable. Sad to say, do not fix it yourself. After all, that's your home you're living in. McNamara Plumbing. New construction, renovations, repairs, service calls. McNamara Plumbing, fully insured, 781-294-7100. McNamara Plumbing.
Are you thinking about selling your home or buying a new one? Are you a first-time home buyer or perhaps just right-sizing? Do you have a buyer's agent? Do you know if you really even need one? What is home staging? Will it really help me sell my home faster? Do I have to have a home inspection? How much home insurance do I need for my new home? How do I handle my estate sale? What are home sale contingencies? Have you heard that you have to put 20% down to buy a new home? Did you know that that wasn't true? Are you worried about environmental issues? What is radon, lead paint, and mold? Is there a difference between a foreclosed property or a short sale? Do you need to have a Title V inspection to sell your home? What do you do if your system fails? Are these questions you have but you don't know who to ask? Hi, I'm Sharon McNamara of Boston Connect Real Estate. Call my office for a one-on-one consultation with me or one of the many dedicated agents at Boston Connect Real Estate so we can talk real estate.
It's easy to connect with some of the South Shore's most experienced real estate agents. Go to bostonconnect.com, bostonconnect.com, or call 781-826-7300.
This is Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford on 95.9 WATD.
And we're back. Good morning to all my South Shore neighbors. You are listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara here on WATD. We're sitting at our kitchen table. It's just me and Sin doing our thing here. Yeah. And what is our thing? Losing track of time.
losing track of thoughts.
Yeah, thoughts.
It's just, bear with us. We're normally not like this. It's just one of those days.
Yeah, it is. It's sort of, you know, one of those things. But you know what? it's beautiful weather this summer that we've been having, and you know what?
Can't complain.
Yeah,
at
it's
all.
Been great. So we're talking about navigating home buying and home selling at the same time. It's very tricky. That's one of the things we were talking about in the last segment, is that making sure that you have a professional working for you and representing you. That means representing you as a seller's agent and representing you as a buyer's agent. You want to make sure that you have somebody who knows what they're doing when you're doing this, because you never want to end up in a situation where you're homeless.
Right.
So you just want to make sure. We, in the last segment, we were talking about what types of legal must-dos that you have to think about, contingencies when you are putting your house on the market. So we said contingent upon seller finding and securing suitable housing. Now, if you are working with that seller, that's your seller, they have to sell their house in order to buy another one. Now they found a house. Okay, we have their house under agreement. We've gone through home inspection and we've signed the purchase and sales agreement. That's how far we are. Okay, you're in a great place. They've given you 2 weeks from the signed purchase and sales agreement to find a new house. Okay.
Right.
You're out on the road, you do your thing, and you find every new house that has come on the market in the South Shore, and you're the first one in the door. And that's the hard part right now, because everyone's waiting until home inspection. I mean, open house.
They won't allow us to go in the door, because I'm there.
Yeah.
But they won't allow us to until the first open house, which is, that is a challenge, been a challenge for me.
Yeah, but trying to get to all those open houses, and then there's so many people, and everybody wants what everybody else wants, and people are buying with emotion. I hate that type of, I hate that market, you know, don't buy with emotion. So now you bring your client to a house, they love it, they want to put an offer in. What are some of the contingencies that you're thinking about as a buyer's agent for this same client when you're putting your offer together?
So potentially, I could be looking for the washer, dryer, fridge, and I could be looking to make sure that the Title V passes and that it appraises above and all of that. But even more importantly for my clients, so there's the one of the most important dates is the commitment date, when the bank is committed to giving your client the loan. So you don't want your commitment date to be before the commitment date of the people buying your house. You want to make sure their mortgage is secured. That's even more important than the closing date. So you want to make sure their mortgage is secured before you put your commitment date in. So I always, I do it the day after. Because it's that close, and, you know, because we want to close on the same day.
Exactly.
So you have to have it out there a little bit. It used to be, you know, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 days before the closing. But after the TRID, everything changed. It's like 10 to 14 days. And a lot of people are very strict, or a lot of agents, on the 14 days. So trying to do that and close within a 30 to 45 day window and get everything else done has been difficult. Go ahead.
You know, no, but I'm thinking, like, so you're talking, she's thinking. I'm totally picking up with you putting down, because this is what we do. So Ryan, like, are you, like, do you feel a little glazed over when we're talking about some of this stuff, or are you getting it?
I'm getting some of it, but some of it, some of it I glaze over.
That's why you hire us.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because we are not glazing. Well, yeah, this is exciting to us.
See, I've learned from you guys over the years, but at this, you know, there's definitely some stuff that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Especially all the legal stuff. You guys are, you know, naming off all these acronyms, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that sheet. I forgot about that one.
Because you said TRID and all this other stuff. Yeah. Right. So you just talk so fast. So that is, that's why I think, you know, having people represent you and helping you, being there, guiding you, doing that whole thing. That's what I love. I love this whole navigating buying and selling at the same time, because it is very intricate. You have
it
to
is.
Literally know exactly what parts of it to be watching out for, and, you know, just to protect you through the whole process.
And, you know, for me, and I'm sure this is probably the same for you, I have never had a seller that I haven't been their buyer's agent for. But I have worked with some people that I'm their buyer's agent, and they have someone else selling their property. And I have to ask them, because I'd cry if someone didn't want to hire me for both, like, right?
Yeah, you know, that happens.
So that happens, and I just said, I don't want to take business, and you know that anyone.
Rather,
so I say,
no client than somebody else's.
Right? Never.
That's
so I
motto.
Say, who do you have? I always ask if they come to an open house, you know, is your property listed? Yes. Okay, so are you working with that agent to help secure another property for you? No, we're not.
Oh. Well, and you know, the thing that's sort of scary when that happens, I'll be honest, and that has happened with me in the past as well, and it is sort of one of those situations where it's like, I always, like, verify and check and verify and check.
Right.
And I'm always very surprised, too. Sometimes I'm like, all right, well, I have to see the dates of your offer on your house so we can make sure that we're lining everything up right as a buyer's agent. And sometimes I look at some of these, I'm shocked. I'm always like, oh my gosh, so who's your attorney? Oh, they said we didn't need one. Well, you do.
Well, you, and that's the, and so when you're doing both, and you said these are very intricate dates, and sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but this is exciting to
please
me.
Please do.
You I'm in complete control, being the control freak I am, right? So I know exactly what's going on at all times. When I am your buyer's agent and you have someone else that you don't want to be your buyer's agent, but they're listing your house, and I'm not going to get into that for whatever reason that you could potentially get out of that. I'm not taking business any way, shape, or form from anyone. But then I have to work with that agent?
Yeah, it's hard. And we have to do that a lot when I'm working with relocation, you know, obviously.
Oh, that's one thing.
Other states, I mean, that sort of makes sense. But one of the things, too, is when we were talking about the contingencies and you were talking about, you know, with the commitment letter, this is really, really, really important for people. If your house doesn't sell and you could still afford to get the mortgage.
Correct.
So people who have to sell their house in order to get to the next house and they need the proceeds from house one in order to get to house two, it might be different for you because it will be in your commitment letter anyways. It will be in your pre-approval letter that it's contingent upon the conveyance, which is important, not sale, because that can be interpreted so many ways. It's contingent upon the conveyance of that property. But let's just say that you don't need the proceeds from house A and you're buying house B, but you really don't want to have both houses, but you could afford to, like you have the money and the funds to do so. It is imperative that you make sure that everything is lined up the right way because and that things are worded the right way, that it is on the conveyance of that property.
Right.
And a lot of times attorneys and agents will try to write in there, well, we're not going to do the conveyance of, we're going to do until you get the commitment letter on that other property. Well, that's risky for somebody who has the funds because what if something happens the day after the commitment letter, you know?
Right.
Where the other person might not be able to go forward.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, one of my clients this summer, at the beginning of the summer, we had the house under agreement. Everything was great. Already started moving and packing. And it was 2 days before the commitment letter was due. He lost his job.
Yeah.
The buyer. I remember that. I mean, you never know.
No, you don't.
And we actually had a situation with one of my listings right now that I'm working with. And it's a, you know, a lower priced home and our clients are selling that home, their first home, and they're moving to Scituate. And the offer that they got on it, everything was fine. Everything was lined up. Well, we just got notice that he didn't pay a credit card bill and it was like $12. It was one of those situations where you forget about it, you forget about it, forget about it. It actually did something. It was his financing was actually that close that it bumped him out of the loan.
Oh.
I mean, he certainly had the $12 to pay it, but he just didn't even realize it. He wasn't opening it up the card.
It's happened to all of us.
Yep. I tell my story with Kohl's. I had a $46 charge, and I refinanced one time, and they're like, you need to pay your Kohl's charge. I was like, I don't even have a Kohl's. Like, what do you mean? So I did it for the coupons.
I do. Yep.
Mm-hmm. My next lifetime, I want to be on that show, Extreme Couponer. I just want to do it. No, I don't have the patience. Who am I fooling? I thought about that for not even 30 seconds.
No, you can't. No, they expire before you get to use most of them, sweetheart.
I
know
they do. I know they do.
Let's be real. Let's be honest.
So, again, you're listening to Talk Real Estate with Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford. We're both full-time real estate agents over at Boston Connect Real Estate. We are servicing all of the South Shore and beyond, going into the Boston area where, actually, I have a client going into Peabody. So.
And I've been working in the Salisbury-Peabody area.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. And I actually have a new listing that just came on the market and we're having the first open house tomorrow and that is in Hyde Park.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Nice little cape. It's adorable. Yeah. So we're really excited about that. 325. Open house is going to be on Sunday and that's going to be from 12 to 2. So it's going to be great.
That's great.
Yes. So some of the things that we were talking about, just to recap, the legal must do's, it's really important that when you are navigating home buying and home selling, the important, not the important part, but it is important, but the nerve-wracking part is, am I going to be left homeless? So you always want to make sure that you have those contingencies in there that are very specific on you not having to move. What becomes at risk is your down payment and your deposit money.
Yeah.
So why don't you explain to people when they put in an offer, when they have to come up with funds and everything at the home, offer.
Wow. So I can?
Yep.
Okay. So you put in generally speaking, it's $1,000. It's a good faith deposit that you're very serious about this offer. You put that in with your offer. And if your offer gets accepted, it goes directly to the listing agent's office, and they put that in an escrow account. The next one is your second escrow deposit at the signing of the purchase and sale, P&S for you,
Ryan. There's another word, P&S.
So that's
and we're not saying pain in the.
No, no, it's actually P a P and S. You just can't get that there, honey.
Some people call it PAS, you know?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I go, what's a PAS?
A PAS, because they're doing purchase and sale.
The ampersand?
Okay. Yeah. So there we go.
So that one is, I personally, so I have a lot of 3 and 3.5% buyers, so they're sometimes putting their whole deposit down at that time, because they look like a stronger buyer, but I never have any client put all together with the $1,000 more than 5% down. Mm-hmm. You don't need to do that. But I have had a lot of people on my offers put in $250,000.
Yeah, I know.
That's
yeah.
not good business I know. For their clients.
You like, had, yeah, because you had that condo. Well, think about me as the escrow. I'm the escrow agent, so I'm fully bonded and everything, being the broker owner of the, you know, of Boston Connect. And when I ever saw the check for $250,000 for a purchase and sales agreement, I thought, okay, well, clearly... Why didn't somebody notice
I was
this?
Tired of helping
yeah.
him.
Yeah, it was...
I was tired of doing the buyer's agent's work, and yeah. he stood to receive quite a commission on that,
yeah.
and I was done. So yeah. if anything happened with that...
Yeah, so what was cash, that? Was that? What was on for 1.1?
1.1.
Yeah, yeah, it was on for 1.1, and they put $1,000 down with the offer, yeah. and $250,000.
$250,000. And I called him, and was on the offer. I said, should this be $25,000? Like, yeah. I just need, and he said, no, it's $250,000. And I said, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm not helping you anymore.
Yeah. And so people, just so you understand too, is that now you're putting that much money at risk. So right. if something does falter and you're not meeting your deadlines and your dates and all these other contingencies, you potentially are going to forfeit that money that's being held in escrow.
Correct.
So that's why you never want to do that. Never, never do more than 5% between your offer to purchase and your purchase right. and sales agreement. It should only be 5%. It's healthy enough. Unless you're buying an investment property, then it right. would probably be like 20% or something like that, but that's all more for financing. Actually, you don't even have to do that.
Oh.
Wow, that time went by fast.
I know.
So you did just hear us again, Sharon McNamara and Cindy Ford, Talk Real Estate, and you can get this on the podcast. Listen to our past shows on talkrealestateradio.com or just on the podcast on your app, Talk Real Estate Radio.
Yep.
And if people want to get in touch with you, Sin, how can they reach you?
781-367-4419. Sharon, what
and,
about you?
Yeah, you can sell. You can talk. Call me. Or text me.
Or talk me.
781-294-4848. You can always catch us at the office, 781-826-8000. Look up our bios on bostonconnect.com. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.